Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
How's my shit together?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Well, what up, it's Dr. Jackson. I'm coming on Ricky on the board. SP Futures down 26. NASDAQ Futures down 176. Individual stocks in the Dow, Microsoft's actually up 4.25. It's been kind of stock that goes the other way with this stuff these days. Tesla's down 4. We got Nvidia, which has earnings tomorrow night, I believe, down $1.70. Micron, which was down a bunch yesterday, is down another 11. Do we have Professor Carl?
You do.
How are you, bud? Boy, we got nothing to talk about today, huh?
Oh yeah, nothing at all. I mean, where would you like to start? How about the Elon show?
Yeah. Also, I wanted you to explain the $1.7 billion in the Elon show. What was the other thing we were going to talk about? We were. I'll find it. I sent you an email yesterday regarding something I didn't know much about. I'll find it. You talk about the Elon show, and I'll find it.
Well, yeah. So the Elon show is this thing with so-called OpenAI that was supposed to be OpenAI.
That's it. That's the subject. There we go. Because I didn't know much about it.
Yeah, and the bottom line is that you've got people jumping up and down that this was a huge knowing win for, you know, that Elon did this on purpose, knowing damn well that it was, that he had a statute of limitations problem, da-da-da-da-da. Okay. Can we back up a little bit? The entire issue there rests on whether or not you can take a charity, a public charity, which, of course, doesn't get taxed, right, at the federal level as a business, and convert it into a for-profit thing and then take the fruits of whatever it is that said nonprofit generated, and maybe you take that public.
Now, do you have to pay taxes on the stuff you made already?
Well, Chief, the answer is you can't do that. You're talking about prison time here.
Okay.
All right. I mean, this one's not a close question.
You need to, whatever answer you have today, we need to hang on to it, because the same thing is going to be said for college football teams.
Well, I get that, okay? But this is not a close question in the law, right? It's not.
How does the law even anticipate something? I mean, is there a law, I guess what I'm saying, who anticipated it? Where's there even a law sitting there waiting for this?
Well, the law is that you can't convert any asset of a tax-exempt entity to private benefit, and if you do, that's conversion. That's, I mean, you're talking about a serious felony here. That's not a thing.
I know there's probably all kinds of tax consequences, but
I
don't know why it would be a crime. I guess I don't. I'm just arguing because I want to draw it out of you.
No, the reason it's a crime is because you stole it. The entire reason that you have a tax exemption is that the thing in question is for public benefit. That's why you have a tax exemption. That's the purpose of it. In the case of a 501c3, it's a charitable or educational institution. In the case of a C6, it's in a different, you know, realm. But still, that's a foundation. There's a bunch of different 501 things. Okay, it's not just one. A lot of people think there's only one of those. There's not. There's several different chapters. But the key element of all of them is that the operation is essentially in the public trust. It's for public benefit. Now, don't get me started about the fact that, you know, directors, officers, and employees.
Yeah, yeah. What's really profit if they all make $10 million?
Don't get me started on that stuff, right? But that is at least it, and there's a reasonableness test in the revenue code related to that. Of course, it's never enforced. People take what's the reasonableness test? Oh, maybe it ought to be.
You make less than Musk, so it's reasonable.
Well, yeah, or you make less than the CEO of Amazon, right? Yeah. Right. I mean, there's which is absolutely ludicrous, but that's at least you can find the foundation of that in the law. All right, you can say you're out of your effing mind, but the foundation's there. This is an entirely different thing. It's just a radically different thing. You cannot convert the assets of a tax advantaged thing into private benefit. You cannot. It's illegal. Period. End of conversation.
All right, quick question. What if the Anti-Cruelty Society, for some reason, decides to sell T-shirts with dogs on it, and all of a sudden they get a huge line of shirts with dogs and cats on it, and they got an artist to make them so nice. Can they separate that off? If all of a sudden it's making money, can Notre Dame separate off the football program or the athletic program like they all seem to want to do?
Well,
That's a tough one.
So technically the answer would be no, but here's where, I mean, if you want to get into the weeds of how you do that, the argument would be if we were to retroactively pay the tax assessment on the accumulated gain in the value of the asset that is to be split off, you could make an argument that there's a legal way to do it.
I mean, there always seems to be a way that these guys get what they want.
Well, here's the thing about this, Chief. Let's say that you have a nonprofit, and at the end of the day, you decide you want to stop running it. Okay? That, for whatever reason, doesn't really make a difference.
No, we're talking nonprofit versus not-for-profit.
Well, that's a distinction without a lot of difference, because there's,
well, one pays taxes, one doesn't.
Well, there's federally chartered stuff that is tax exempt, and then there's things that are not, but are at the state level. So this gets into the weeds a little bit more.
Well, I'm asking because the CBOE was a not for profit.
Right.
Membership organization, and all of a sudden they decided to become a stock organization. They did it pretty smoothly.
Yeah, but if you take one of these entities and you shut it down, normally, you know, I shut out at one point before MCSD was an internet company. We did just ordinary networking installs and computer consulting and software development, things like that, for various businesses around the Chicagoland area. And it was a sub-S, myself and one other person. We were both in equal partners in it, but it was a sub-S corporation. And, you know, so fairly small, because when you get to a certain revenue level, at the time I think it was $5 million, you have to convert to a C. You can't stay as a sub-S. But we were well under that, and so, you know, nice little business. When we decided to shut that down, there was no challenge in doing it, in that you just, you know, our profits, we got taxed individually. It's a pass-through, and so when you shut it down, you divide up the assets however you want, okay, and whatever appreciation, if there is any in those. In this case, it's the other way around. It's depreciation, because, you know, you're talking about computers and things like this. But if there was appreciation, then it passes through to the people as you take the distribution and you pay the taxes. Right? There's nothing complicated about this. It's easy. A for-profit company that closes is It's just a question of how you want to split things up, and if there's gains, then they're taxable. That's fine. If it's a nonprofit or not-for-profit, you can't do that. The assets have to be distributed.
You mean you shouldn't be able to do that?
No, you can't do it. It's illegal. You have to distribute the assets to some other not-for-profit or nonprofit entity. You can't take them.
All right, I get it. We are entering the world that there's nothing as...
I'm with you on that, Chief. Nobody seems to give a blankety, blankety, blank, blank, blank about what the law actually says anymore. All right? And this is, this whole thing, the people are talking about the statute of limitations, stuff like this. Okay, here's my question. Let's just make the assumption that, and this is what the court said, the jury found that Musk lost, not because he's wrong. They never even got to the question of whether or not the events that were put out in fairly graphic detail happened. I wasn't in the courtroom, but from looking at the reporting, they pretty clearly did. But rather that his suit was barred by the statute of limitations. Okay. He's going to appeal on that. You say he's going to do it. Fine.
So whatever. Here's my...
That gets complicated, Chief, but here's the bigger question. Why is it that the Department of Justice didn't come in and throw these SOBs in prison for conversion? Because we're not talking about $50 here.
When you convert, who's the owner now? But I'm saying if they were allowed to, who are the owners? Who gets the stock?
That seems to be the problem, right? I mean, now all of a sudden this so-called open thing, where these guys appear to have essentially stolen the assets of this charity.
All right, I had a few questions, now I got about 10. I had Kramer on, who I'm not a massive fan of, but he's one of these guys that loves what CEOs do. I mean,
Of course, yeah.
So the whole point was, Musk knew that he used the system to essentially abuse this guy and these people, knowing he was going to lose. But still, it cost him an arm and a leg, and it cost this guy a whole bunch of his life. And my point is, why didn't the judge look at it day one and say, you're past the thing, get the hell out of here?
Well, that's the better question.
Is not about winning or losing. It's about abusing the person on the other side. And the federal government does that all the time.
Well, yeah, hello.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, the thing is this. The first question is, why is it that the judge didn't just turn around and toss it on the statute of limitations?
And if it's so obvious, why did Musk wait so long?
Well, okay.
Or anybody. Why did the feds wait so long?
Okay. Well, exactly. But that's my point, is that if in fact the fact pattern is what appears to have been presented, and again, I wasn't in the courtroom, okay, but the fact pattern is pretty clear. It's kind of like the guy that walks down Michigan Avenue, pulls out a gun, and starts shooting people, and you catch him in the act. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's still smoke coming out of the barrel, and you're like, okay, asshole, you're going to jail. All right. The fact pattern looks that level of clear to me. Now, again, wasn't there? You have to sit there through the testimony to know that, but that's what it looked like to me. If that is in fact the case, then I want to understand how it is that not just the judge tossing it on statute of limitations, limit of appeal at that point, but how it is that the Department of Justice did not come down on these guys 5 years ago.
Well, I don't know since we are Stocks and Jacks, how exactly is private capital going to buy the athletic department of the University of Alabama or Notre Dame?
Well, I don't see how it can.
You know, they're going to.
Well, the legal system, the structure of non and not-for-profits is such that that is a black-letter felony.
I guarantee you nobody's going to go to jail, but it's football. Everybody bets on it. Everybody wants to play.
Well, I'm not taking that bet. I'd lose.
Yeah.
I am not defending. I'm just saying we are in a world that is essentially a kleptocracy at this point across the board.
Starting at the top, but culminating at the top.
Well, I don't think it started at the top at all, and I think it's been going on for an awfully long time.
Top has been doing it his entire life. I mean,
Keith, exponential growth is a SOB in it.
I agree.
And guess what? That's what you've got here. It's the same thing you got in so many other areas. I put up this a column.
I don't want anyone to say this. I think it's past the point. If they beam Solomon up to the future, I don't know if he could fix this.
Well, look, you had Microsoft a couple of days ago. Microsoft's AI chief, and by the way, let me point out that Microsoft is now an Indian-run company, even though it's listed in the United States.
They're all ITT, for God's sake.
He comes out and he says that every white-collar job will be gone and replaced by AI within 18 months.
He's out of his mind, but that's another story.
Well, okay, that means you're unemployed. You and your brother, you're both unemployed.
Well, we might
you're out, the computer's going to do it. By the way, that this didn't result in an instant crash of Microsoft's stock price.
It was up. It's up now.
I understand that. But realize that 6 in 10 Americans, approximately, in the workforce today are white-collar jobs. About 60%. Okay? Now, furthermore, the median income of a white-collar worker in America is approximately $80,000 a year. That's the median. Not the mean. It's the median. Okay? So, let's just multiply this up. We've got 163, approximately, million employed in the United States. So, that's about 98 million employees at a median income of $80,000 a year, which is $7.8 trillion a year in income that's going to disappear. Now, can you explain to me how, if that occurs...
It's not going to disappear. It's going to go to the guy who runs Microsoft.
No, it's not. I'm going to eat the guy that runs Microsoft, and so are you, because there isn't going to be any other way to survive.
We're going to have three yachts the size of the Titanic instead of a bunch of bass boats.
And those three yachts are all going to hit icebergs. And, think about this. No 401k contributions from those 98 million people. No health insurance premiums paid for those 98 million people. No mortgages paid because they have no income with which to pay the mortgage. And no food bought by them. No power, no cars, no internet service, no phones. 60% of the working population with a median income double that of a blue-collar employee is all of a sudden going to be out of work.
People thought that after 2001, that they're only...
Yeah, and it didn't work, did it? No, what happened to the stock market?
Yeah. Okay. I'm talking about the movie.
Well, I understand that. Yeah. But again, what happened to the stock market in 2000 when they ran that same crap in the late 90s?
Yeah.
Okay? And this guy has the balls to stand up and make a statement like this. He's not talking about 20 years down the road or something. He's 18 months. A year and a half.
Whenever people...
He's nuts.
Whenever people get in these positions, and I'll put Elon Musk in there for sure.
Well, Elon's in there even worse.
Well, yep. No, what I'm saying is, it is stunning when people are very successful, and I'm not going to name any sort of professions, but as you can imagine, with all the clients I've had through the years, or PTI's had, there are people that are very successful in what they do in whatever industry they're in. And I never, I don't know, Colin, I never had this kind of ego. I never thought that I could, you know, well, maybe I could take a stab at a factory because I did work at Pullman. I have some experience, but I never thought that, like, I could be a doctor tomorrow.
Right.
But every doctor is convinced he knows everything about trading. Huh. I mean, when people are smart and they're successful, it was the Harvard School of Business. I don't know if you remember that. They call it the Harvard School. The difference between University of Chicago and Harvard was, and the people from Harvard were considered superior in terms of the University of Chicago because people in the University of Chicago, they had the night courses and that stuff. But by and large, people came right out of college and learned a lot of skills in various areas, but you didn't really work yet. I was one of those. The good news is you were fresh from college. The math and all the other stuff was fresh, so I think you probably learned a little more. But the Harvard side was, you maybe worked a year, you did something, and then you came in and you became this manager guy. You know, we were talking about the Robert McNamara kind of guy, where it doesn't matter whether it's a hot dog stand or it's Laughlin Steel, you're a manager, manage, and whatever it is, you got it all figured out. And that's why Kennedy grabbed these guys, the whiz kids. What was McNamara was from Ford to run the Defense Department. How'd that work out? I'm kind of in the middle on that. If there's certain management skills that you can take from place to place. I mean, the management skills at Pullman were the same at the CBOE, which are the same at PTI. That part I get. But the idea that somebody could be able to analyze a client and their risk-reward and where they are in life and, you know, with 10 checkpoints and put them in the positions. Everybody's so different. I don't know how AI could possibly understand that. I mean, they're going to take every human being is. There might be five different types. There's hundreds of different types.
Well, yeah, Chief. I look at what's going on right now within the market, and the economy generally, the whistling past history, and totally ignoring it. When it comes to all the stuff that's going on with regards to Iran and the Strait of Hormuz, leave the blowing people up part out of it. Just look at it from an economics perspective, right? I mean, that's all I'm looking at.
Yep.
Okay. The other part we can have a debate about on philosophy, and that's a political discussion and whatever have you. Fine. The economic impact, I get it. That unless you are basically my age or older, if you're under 60, you do not remember what happened in 1974 because you were too young at the time it occurred, and therefore you don't have unless you're Einstein level plus, where this kind of stuff was rattling around your brain at the age of 4 and it actually made some sense. If it rattled around your brain at the age of 10, like it did for me, and it made some sense, that's probably okay, right? Because then, you know, then the next 8 years was when you were coming of age, all right? Well, that's where I was with this, all right? I graduated high school in 1981. So I entered the world of having to go out and find a way to make a living, right, at that point. That was a 5-month disruption with the oil embargo. And the impact of that and the recovery of the economy was not reasonably, under any standard, considered appropriately complete until the midterms of Reagan's first term. In fact, he got drubbed.
If you look at all the worst, even though he's considered Saint Ran, The worst numbers by far were in his first term. If he had not been reelected, he'd have been, all the crap that people dump on Carter had been dumped on him.
Would have been dumped on him, yeah. And that's the thing, is that, I mean, I came out of high school in the middle of the suck, okay, to put it bluntly. And yet, here we are, you know, and Peanut Man got...
Hey, when Joel pops up, let me know, because Kenny is on... on a flight to Frisco or something, so hopefully you can come back.
Okay.
When we see Joel, we'll see Joel. You know, it's I see the mentality at all levels. It's the mentality of the war stuff, okay? Yeah. And I remember Vietnam War very, very clearly, boy. And,
really?
Yeah, yeah, very clearly. And I'll
You're
tell you
a little
what,
older than I am. See, I was just in the fear section of maybe I was going to get drafted.
Well, I was looking for my number.
Yeah, but, I'm just saying.
But
yeah.
the idiots of the time, okay, and I'll say that now in retrospect. If anybody mentioned anything that the war was not a good idea, the immediately knee-jerk reaction of all the morons in Washington and the people who were not able to... When I say... This is the same thing I have with what's going on now with this president. It's the same, to me, it's the same mentality. You voted for the people in there. It made sense. The Vietnam thing seemed like it maybe was an okay idea for a while, but as time went by, it became very obvious that it wasn't. And, yeah. And whenever you talk to somebody who was pro-Vietnam, they pulled the six gun out of their jackstrap and said, "You want these commies in Australia? You want these commies taking over Cambodia, and in 5 years from now we're fighting for us?" That was the message. Okay.
And it's the same crap now.
It's the same crap now. And if you put these guys up in Congress, do you want a nuclear bomb over there? We're long past the fact that these guys have a nuclear. There's other ways to stop that. But that's the knee-jerk reaction. It's the same knee-jerk reaction after 9/11. You want some guy with a turban ripping your mother? You got to go with this Patriot Act. No, I don't. It looks pretty horrible to me. What it's going to do to everybody else. But that was, you couldn't have that argument. You want a guy with a turban raping your mom or your girlfriend? What the hell? Now,
by the way, we sort of got that.
Yeah.
And right here in America.
Well,
and if you think it's bad here, you should go over to Europe.
Well, I'm saying it, but the idea was we're gonna put all these and the way I see it, we've got nothing but people going up our drawers in the government. We got cameras all over the damn place, and we still can't arrest anybody.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, so you know, we just had these two Utes who decided they'd had enough of the mosque out in California, which, by the way, was tied to the 9/11 hijackers, okay, intimately. Wasn't shut down for their involvement in that. That is a documented fact that there were lots of ties to the guys that actually flew the planes. All right, everybody forgets this.
Well, we forgot about going after Timothy McVeigh's buddy. We killed him so he never could talk. Same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so anyway, these two. One of them, the kid's mom, calls the cops and says, "Hey, by the way, this kid just ran away from home, my kid, and he stole a bunch of guns. Now, with a camera on every effing corner, we know what he's driving. We know what vehicles he's in. He's armed. He's taken off. He stole the guns, which makes him an instant felon." But we can't find him until 6 hours later when he shoots up the mosque.
Nobody cares.
Well, obviously, duh. By the way, Joel's up, so I'm going to shut up and let him have his time, but I'll hang around.
Okay. Joel, how are you, buddy?
Good morning, Chief. How you doing today?
Doing all right. I'm kind of looking at weird stuff here, and I get this weird idea. I mean, when I say weird, I've used the word weird too many times. I'm looking at the margin loans. Did you see how much the margin loans went up last month?
No.
1.220 to 1.304 in 1 month. $85 billion.
In margin loans?
Yeah. From March to April. That's a number. A new record.
Yeah. Well, you know, why not? You know, why not take advantage of this, runaway market that's cooled off a little bit?
And I see the interest rates creeping.
We've seen indications before that, yeah, you know, that these patterns come and usually don't have good endings. It's certainly something that, you know, I've never invested on, and there's a lot of risk. If you're using margin, then you got to be aware of the risks. I mean, everyone tends to focus on their rewards. But they should focus on the risk instead.
Well, if you bought the stock and somebody told you to buy it and you did your homework, how could it possibly go down? How could you be wrong?
I don't give investment advice. So
you're saying, but the mentality is what I'm talking about. It's such different. That's why next time I'm on your show, I want to explain my answer better from last time. It's such a different world when you make the trade versus somebody does it to you. Somebody does it to you, like if you're a market maker, you immediately assume the other guy's right.
I like that. I got 50 and a half. You got 10. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now what am I going to do? I think the other thing, too, that investors, need to understand and is that you see these moves in these stocks, and I can use any kind of examples. Like let's say Micron, that's the best example. When they're going up, there's no pain for anybody. That run that it had in May, when it went from 500 to 800 in basically 8 days.
Well, there's pain if you're the guy who was making a market and sold it the first day.
Right.
And been chasing it for 200 points.
Right. You are. But you have to, look at this and say, if I want to sell it at 650, you have to be able to do that in the momentum. And it's still above 650. But you need to catch these things when the momentum's going up. It's still above. If 650 was your target and you're still holding on and everything's fine, then, it is. But once there's a turn, I see four red candles here in Micron since it peaked over $800. And what that simply means is that the preponderance of the volume during the day from the open to the close has been sellers. And that changes the complexion of the market. And I'm not trying to make any kind of predictions here on Micron or whatever, or any of these other stocks for that matter. But take your targets. If you have them. If you're a long-term investor, that's another thing. You can just, you can let them run, or you can try and do some option strategies. But the market dynamics. When something's going up, it goes up very, very fast. When something's going down, it goes down even faster. So just something for
people. But this going up this fast, unless there's an actual takeover, I've never seen this kind of move to the upside. And going back to the meme stocks and everything, in all my years, I've never seen that, unless it was a takeover or something like that.
Yeah. Yep. And also, if you're, you're buying a stock like Micron or SanDisk, that's so much different than, buying a stock, a meme stock. I don't know. Have you seen the latest meme stock on Wall Street?
Probably, but which one?
Ford.
Oh, yeah. Huh. I've probably been long Ford for my clients in the last 10 years 50 times, on earnings and stuff, and I think maybe we broke even.
That might be being
enthusiastic to even say we broke even. We made money a few times, but how long was the stock at $5, for God's sake?
It was down in around COVID. It would only spend a few months around five during COVID, and then during 22, it got to $25. How I lost puts when it went to 25 and I had 23 puts, I still don't know. But when you're looking, and I'm only bringing this stock up because they're new technology, they're getting into batteries and EV battery.
Except my bro has a group of guys a while ago who were really into this electronic cars and stuff, but they were gonna do the Blue Gene thing. The guys that had the couplers for the electric, the people that did this, people did that. The stuff that you would normally, you didn't want to go for gold during the gold rush. You wanted to buy Levi's, right, and picks and shovels. But these guys put together a basket of probably 10 or 12 stocks that would do guys that were doing the couplers, guys that were doing the batteries. He has a long list of it. I think every one of them is down. the further the EV went, the more people got electric cars, the more the stocks went. There might be a couple that are doing all right, but that whole basket didn't do very well. He did a great job managing it for these guys because it was their stocks, but I don't think they made any dough on it.
No.
It was I mean, if you go back, well, you're right. I'm going, you know, I guess I'm showing my age. I went back further. If you go Max, I mean, Ford was around, well, I'm going to say $8, $7.50. It was forever at this $12, $10. I said $5, I meant like $10. It was there forever, from like $2.10 to $2.19. And still, it's only $13. You know, it's not like it. You got to go back to 89 for it to be in the 90s and stuff. That's a long time ago.
I think during the financial crisis, no, it wasn't the financial crisis. I think maybe it was the tech bubble. Whenever it got down to a dollar, I think that one of their promotions at one of the dealerships around here was you buy a car, you get like 100 shares of stock. And that's when it was like at a buck or something.
Well,
I can't remember that.
Down very deep, because they didn't take any money after 9/11.
Yeah, that's when it was. That's when it was.
But they also were able to. That's not exactly fair, because when GM went bankrupt, right, and they got federal money. Well, they were able to stiff a lot of their suppliers and stuff. So I think Ford, under the threat of bankruptcy, was able to cut deals with a lot of people, almost as if they were in bankruptcy. Does that ring a bell to you?
Yeah, I think. Well, I remember.
There's always a little wiggle in this stuff, is it? It's never actually just a straight story. One declared bankruptcy, one didn't. Wait. But the other guys used the threat of them doing the same thing, where people, shall we say, revisited some of the debts that were owed, correct? I think there might have been some union concessions, too, weren't there?
Yep, there was.
So these stories are fascinating, just to go through them in detail. But we don't do detail anymore, Joe. We don't want
to. No, man. People don't have an appetite. They just want to hear what to buy, what to sell, real quick here. Wrapping things up for today. You're seeing some rotation, as we always see in this market here. And we know how the hardware, software story that we've been talking about, that theme, is turning a little bit. And it kind of turned, Microsoft kind of shrugged off its earnings decline. Then it got a big vote from Bill Ackman, and that gave it a boost. And then now
some guy buying a bunch of stock, coming on TV and telling you to buy it higher than he bought it. I love it. If I did that, they'd yank my license tomorrow, but he gets to do it.
Exactly. But so there's a little rotation. So those stocks are on pressure here. Your Microns and your SanDisk and your Intels here. But you know this market, Chief. They're selling something. They're buying something else here. And,
well, talk me down from a guy who started when the rates were CD rates were 16% or 15.5 or something. The 30-year rate was 12.5. And the market was 800. Try and talk me down from being very nervous of these long-term rates creeping up every day for the last 2 weeks. And we've got a country that's seemingly so uneducated. Don't worry, the new Fed chairman's going to lower all the rates. Don't they get it that long-term rates have nothing to do with this? What this guy wants to do? Although they are putting more money, they are buying bonds again on the balance sheet, so they can deflect it for a while, like they did during COVID. But If this inflation is going where it's going, does anybody think that people are going to loan money to people for 3%? What manner of moron would do that?
Beef, I can't talk you off that.
You're supposed to talk me out of this.
Nope, and you haven't even seen the full, you know, the full effects of the oil. But the thesis is that AI will make up for it all.
Yeah,
and create jobs and stuff. So.
And you still have people who wonder why the price of tomatoes are high. They don't realize that there's a tariff on them. Fertilizer
and plastics. I mean, you know, it's all fine and dandy until it's not, Chief.
Well, tell me if you wrote a book talking about tariffs and you said there were going to be all these essentially illegal tariffs put on all these places, they're going to gather up all these billions of dollars, they would be declared illegal, but all the people who paid them weren't going to get the dough back, only like the big shots are going to get the money back. And oh, by the way, we just shifted to a new type of tariff, so you're still paying them. If you wrote that in a book, nope, you couldn't sell one. They think you were in a Lulu farm.
They think that anyways, Chief.
maybe we do. Anyway, you take care of yourself. I'm looking forward to you back in on your show.
Yeah, we got you. We got you on the schedule, I believe,
yes, you
for
do.
The end of next week.
Yeah,
but,
it's gonna be fun.
I'll be back next week. Go Blue. We'll talk about the Pistons.
SP Futures down 30, NASDAQ down 205, sort of where they are. Carl, you still there?
I am.
We only covered like two of our 30 topics here. I got some stuff from Wayne and they, of course, and they must have listened to my rant yesterday regarding Trump's manager, money manager, and how I could never have done that if that was me. I mean, if I was supposedly running the blind trust, I'd have it in stuff like, you know, the Q's. I'd have it something that was, you know, I could do. I think
but he's not being run by a blind. It's not a blind trust.
No, but do you believe 30? This is what did Andrew say? Was 37 in the first quarter? The how many thousand trades? For God's sake, I didn't do that when I was on the trading floor.
Chief, I did in the middle of the crazy in the the 07-08 time frame. I filed a telephone book with the IRS, okay, because this was before the basis was reported by the brokerages.
Yeah.
So you had to do it, which of course meant that you had a whole lot of fun come tax time, right? If you were trading professionally, I was.
If you're gonna do that, you got to tell the whole story of our government because we do the reporting, right?
Yeah.
Well, we don't. The clearing firm does. If you this is back in the day, this is, you know, listeners, listen close on this one. If it was 15, 20 years ago and you brought in $1 million worth of IBM stock to PTI, of course it would go to RBC or probably was Mesro at the time or a clearing firm, and you sold it, what we reported to the IRS
was the sale. Right.
So it was up to you to say, wait a minute, I paid $999,999. I only made a buck. If you didn't do that,
you got taxed on the whole thing.
You got taxed on the whole thing.
Yeah, which by the way is utterly insane.
Oh, without a doubt. It's only been like a couple of years where you report both sides of the option trade.
Well, you had to track it. Okay.
Yeah.
The
clearing firm would do it for you, but. Still, I think all you reported on the option side was the sale. I mean, well, my brother.
Oh no, we had and here was the thing: was that there was a company. I think there's no business, but I paid them. It's called Wohlers, that would take your data and the 1099 and produce the consolidated schedule that you needed.
Right.
Okay. Now, of course, this was not free.
No.
But I used them for several years before the brokerages had to give you basis, you know, your 1099 every year, because otherwise one mistake and you get audited. Okay, and of course no, the IRS never has all that data. They couldn't just give it to you anyway, right? Of course they do, but if you screw up, they come after you. And the only other alternative, of course, is you pay taxes on something you didn't actually make, which is even more stupid. So, yeah.
I haven't allowed this one out there for a while, but I think it deserves...
But I'm just saying, when I saw that trade count, Chief, I was like, you know what? That's like more crazy than the level of trading I was doing in the middle of trying to stay in front of this.
There had to be 20 trades in the one stack. The
Was it
not Palantir? It was the other one. What was it? We were just talking about it yesterday. Well, the one stack that he was pushing. But, you know... He's such a horrible trader. He bought it originally at 180, sold it at 130, then he bought it again at like 140, and it went down to 100. Then he trumped it. He said it's a great stack, and it went up from there. But the trades weren't all that. He was a net loser, but
well,
still,
and some of them he was right.
Yeah,
yeah. So, but I say, you know, one of the things that I think is so interesting about this is that, you know, in the first little bit, we were talking about the thing with Microsoft and their AI guy, you know, basically saying if you got a white collar job in the next 18 months, you're effed, right? You're in the street. All right, that is obvious bullshit, and you would expect that the immediate reaction to that would be an absolute pummeling of the company. All right, but it hasn't been.
No.
The stock's gone up. And
did he go to China? Were the Microsoft guy go to China? I don't think he did. Did he? Maybe he did.
No, but I don't think he did. That's Nadella that runs that company. This isn't him. This is the AI division's head.
Ah.
Okay. So it's not the actual CEO, but close enough because it's the part that's doing the stuff, right? And so, but the reason this is happening, Chief, is because you've come up with such BS out of these corporations for the last couple of years with this AI nonsense. It's just like every other exponential thing. You have to come up with something even more outrageous in order to get any more pop out of it, right? Because what you originally did has you used it, all right? And you look at what's going on right now with Taco and the stuff with Iran. Last night, I was an hour away from blowing them all to hell, and I decided I'm going to just pause it a little bit. Well, he didn't get much out of it this time, did he? Instead of the ES futures going haywire to the upside, they're just kind of sitting there. So that's what ends up happening, and that's ultimately why these things fold back, is that the reaction that you used to get from these things stops working. You make more and more outrageous statements in order to try to keep it going, and it fails. And that's when it folds back on you, and we are in that range now. And you saw it, you were just talking about this thing with I saw the stuff with the margin debt increase. I sent to the list the other day that the apparently the consumed margin debt is in the 80s. Which, boy, I'll tell you what, if we get any kind of a rapid drawdown, the phones are going to be ringing and the positions are going to be getting forced liquidated. It's going to be a bloodbath.
Thank God that we run PTI the way we do. I don't thank God because...
not going to get hosed, but everybody else is.
I wish we ran it the other way every time I see how much money those guys are making, charging interest on all these margin loans. But on the other hand, I don't want any part of that. I don't want any part of my guys losing that kind of dough. I mean,
The people that are on the wrong side of that are going to lose everything.
Real quick, when Joel and I were talking about the Micron side to inject this car, but when the stock makes, with a major beat, they make $12 a share. Okay. Yeah. So even if the stock just went up $240 in like a week, that's, for God's sake, that's 20 times PE on just the part it went up.
I know. Well, here's the other thing. I think it was Seagate. It was one of those guys Seagate, Micron, a couple of these other guys that make this stuff, their stock has been vertical, all right, for the last 2-3 months, all right? Absolutely vertical. One of them got asked, why don't you open up more factories? And the answer was, it takes too long.
Well, yeah, it does. Build a factory.
Well, okay, now hold on a minute. There's two pieces to that. One of them is, it takes a long time to build a factory. The second is, the guy just told you, this isn't going to hold.
Yeah.
Because if it was, he'd build the factory.
That's right.
And he knows it's not going to hold. Because otherwise, he gets left behind if he doesn't do it and it holds. All right, he gets hosed. He's not doing it. These firms have been in this business for a very long time. They're not stupid. And those people that are betting on this continuing are. They've got more information than the guy on the street who's bidding up the stock. They're in the position of superior knowledge.
Well, that's right. And I was, I don't know if you heard my rant yesterday. I was going on about trade data and so forth. And funny, I've zeroed in, I don't know how I stumbled on this YouTube thing, but I'm going to have to figure out who the group is I signed up for. But there's this lady, just a regular-looking lady, gives these 10 or 15, 20-minute economic talks. And it's nothing, Carl, that you and I don't do. We don't know, I think. But it's organized in like I've got a thing in front of me from a guy about inflation. I talk about inflation all the time, but this is written by a dude named John Steele Gordon. He obviously spent a boatload of time on it. And in 10 pages of a pamphlet, basically explained exactly what you and I talk about from start to finish, all the way from the Civil War forward.
Yeah.
And so once in a while, this lady refreshed my memory, because I used to know this when I was a kid. There's a big difference. If you have balanced exchange rates or free market rates,
right,
in theory, something called the current account balance always has to balance.
Right.
But it doesn't mean your trade balances.
Right.
But
correct.
So, but she went through for, I don't know if I still have it buried in my YouTube history, but she went through a whole thing about why don't Americans and politicians essentially understand that the deal for a bunch of years is we buy all your stuff because we have this voracious appetite for stuff. Right. We buy all your stuff. We have a trade deficit. You turn around and invest the money in U.S. treasuries or in stock over here. So the current account deficit is actually even.
Right.
But that allows us to continue to buy stuff because that's what we want. This has been the plan forever. And she didn't name Trump or anybody like that. She just said, but when some people don't understand that that is the deal and start to say, wait a minute, this trade thing is a problem. We need to screw these people because they're screwing us. And you start to intercept the process. And you realize that those are also the people that are buying your bonds and the stock and stuff over here in government paper or you know company paper and everything. If you don't understand that, all you're going to do is screw everything up. So if all of a sudden, and yesterday I was ranting about how, you know, the problem is people believe these idiots. And I don't know if they're either idiots or they're flat out, they don't know or they're trying to cheat. And yesterday on Monday, but whoever was arguing with me about said, don't you get it that if there's only one person you're trading with, and we used to go through this in college, for God's sake, grad school, if there's one island and you buy Coca-Cola nuts from them, cola nuts, I guess they're not Coca-Cola nuts, and all you do is buy them, and all of a sudden they got a big boatload of dollars over there, and you got the cola nuts. They're not screwing you. You're buying something from them. Now, the question is, what are they going to do with the dollars?
Right.
Are they going to bring them back and buy U.S. bonds with them? Because they got to do something with them, or else what are they going to do, sit on them? Burn
them? They got to go somewhere.
And so why all of a sudden, if you buy the coal, let's give them bonds, and they turn around and invest in the U.S. government, why are they screwing us? We're the ones that want to buy this shit. But if you had a third country, okay, they don't buy U.S. bonds, but they buy French wine. And the French buy the bonds. If long as the balance works, nobody's screwing anybody. We're the ones that need the cola nuts, right?
Well, yeah, and that's fine until the reason that they can sell you the cola nuts at a price that is attractive as opposed to you producing them is because they stuck a gun up their residents' butts.
Without a doubt.
And made them go out and farm them, okay? At the point that or they're polluting the environment or whatever have you, right? But that's where the issue comes from, Chief, is that when you allow this kind of arbitrage to go on at that level, you are, for all intents and purposes, your nation is exactly back to where we were in 1850.
Well, right. The thing, remember, though, you're talking to me and our listeners. Okay, so your thoughts and your knowledge are going to go real far with us.
Yeah, but not far with them.
No, but I'm not even talking about them. Talk about, you know, I'll tell you something really, really
I'm
weird.
I'm talking about the average guy.
I know.
You know, something.
You know, it's something really weird, Carol. I was at this birthday party of actually a client, been a friend forever. I stood up at their wedding. And her husband showed me a picture of somebody. I didn't recognize the person. It was me.
That
it was 1982.
Okay,
but you know, I saw the shirt I was wearing, and I immediately recognized it. My first trip to New York had to be 1981, and I was wandering around. They just opened the South Street Seaport area, remember? And one of the first stores there was Abercrombie and Fitch.
Yeah.
So I wandered in there, and I bought like their idea of a polo shirt.
Right.
And at the time, for God's sake, it had to be $25. And I'm thinking, why the hell, this thing better be a good damn good shirt. Carl, I must have washed that thing every week for 5 years, and it was good as new. Wherever they did the cotton with it, it was the most comfortable damn thing. Now, okay then. Now, when you go into an Old Navy, I bought one of those shirts, it lasted about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yet all you see in Old Navy is people, I'm not disparaging anybody, people buying 20 shirts for their 6 kids, knowing that they're going to wreck them anyway, and they're $10. You know, they're not going to wash them 50 times because the kids are going to tear them. That's what kids do.
Because the kids are going to tear them, outgrow them.
So, but I mean, I've been shopping through catalogs my whole life, mainly because I was 6'4". and nobody had tall sizes. I love Marshall Fields, but there wasn't anything there that could fit me, right?
Right.
And so, but you'd go to L.L. Bean, you'd go to, who were the guys, Duluth Trading, all those people, yeah. Lands End, they all at one point tried to market like U.S.-made khakis or jeans.
And they never went anywhere.
They never went anywhere. Because everybody wanted the $20 off. So when we point the finger at China and the way they treat their people, our people don't give a crap. I mean,
that's exactly the problem, though, Chief, is that we are the worst hypocrites on the planet.
Well, it's white people. It's all.
Last time I was down in Michigan City.
Last time I was down in Michigan City, there's a Nike store, and they had a big sale.
Yeah.
There had to be 100 people in line. 95 of them were black. What do you think would happen if I got a big? I'm not saying they should think any. We should think, but if I got on a big foghorn and said, you know, they have slave labor in China, how many people get out of line? Well, if I'm black and I heard that, I'm out of line in a second. Right. As a matter of fact, if I'm white, I'm out of, I don't want anybody enslaved. Chinese, black, white, it's all the same, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't get me to buy a Nike thing if I thought that was the case.
Yeah, yeah.
Yet, doesn't matter. Michael Jordan's the richest man in the world, right? Damn near. Well, not the richest man, but I mean, for Nike, nobody cares.
Close enough. It's just, it's nuts. You look at what's going on today, all right, because it's primary day for a bunch of states, right?
Yep.
And the so-called MAGA people are all over trying to throw Massey out of his seat. All right. Now, I've a friend of mine that lives in his district, so he's been his congressman for quite some period of time. The reason that Trump is PO'd at Massey is because Massey believes that the American government and our tax money should be doing things for Americans. And that when it comes to any sort of do it for some other country, the answer is no. Okay?
<Yeah. laughs>
And it doesn't matter which one it is. Well, he had the temerity to say that with regards to the stuff with Iran and Israel. And AIPAC has now come after him and made this the most expensive House congressional race in history. Now, explain to me why it is that people with foreign citizenship, whether they're duals or not, are allowed under our political system to do this.
I went to a couple AIPAC things. It's pretty fascinating. Hey, what did you think of, I don't know if you saw it or not, because I think a lot of wasn't on the TV on Sunday. Gates was on, was he on with Margaret Brenner or somebody? Gates was the former defense secretary or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And it went over like a fart in church with the administration. But
I'm sure it did.
But he basically said, you know, all the news that's out about the whole spiel that Netanyahu gave to talk Trump into doing this.
Yeah.
The guy said he gave the exact same spiel. Was it 2009?
Yeah, well, he did.
And Obama said no. You're not going to get the regime change in 3 days like you're telling us you're going to. It's not going to happen, and sure enough, it hasn't.
And he was right. And, I mean, when this thing started, this is what I said. Now, I have some friends of mine that are very, very, they have fairly intimate knowledge of the internals of Iran, and they are convinced that we, quote-unquote, need to do something. Okay, fine. Do something in that context, as I pointed out to them, means put 100,000 American troops over there, all right, and literally take the place. I said, now, the problem with this is 20,000 of them come back in a box.
Yeah, a little bit of an issue.
All right? And by the way, the American public will not stand for that. So this is not, this isn't a choice. And you may not like the fact that it's not what the choice, but it isn't a choice. And until and unless the American public would back an actual no BS war, a real one, not screwing around shooting things from the air and, you know, air assaults and things like this, you are talking about a landmass that would cover half of the eastern United States if you were to pick it up and drop it on top of our country. All right, these are not, and by the way, nearly 100 million people.
Well, we also have, I mean, this whole idea that we'd love everybody in the world. I am not at all a fan of Islamic take the place over stuff. It's like,
well, they're crazy.
It's like, but, well, it's like the Catholic religion in the 800s or something.
But, yeah, they're crazy. But that's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is you can't blow them to Mars and have them say uncle from the air.
Plus you have to believe that over time, and it looks like they were losing some grip. Now, it didn't go as fast as we wanted it to, but I don't see those guys. Of course, I didn't see the Chinese still in charge this far. I don't see those guys in charge 25 years from now.
Well, you don't know. I mean, if you want to take a look
at that. Well, we outweighted the Russians because they were too tough to tangle with.
Okay, we outweighted the Russians, but remember, we caused all of this crap over there starting in the 1950s when we went over there and decided that BP was all of a sudden an American defensible asset, which it wasn't. That was British. And rather than telling the British to go solve their own problems, we went over there and overthrew the government.
Well, yeah.
We led to that. Are the actual cause of the crazy over there.
Everybody in this country should read a book that our Monday guest John Lee gave me, America's History in the Middle East. We showed up like a second after the drill struck oil.
Yeah, it was, I mean, well, after World War One, what was the Balfour Declaration?
Well, it was T.S. Lawrence and Winston Churchill.
Well, yeah, and France wanted their piece of it.
Yep.
It was none of this was clean by any stretch of the imagination. Right? Every European nation had their fingers in that pie too. So to say that we were the penultimate bad guys. Well, maybe, but guess what? Everybody else had their fingers in that pie.
we gotta probably go to Hal here in a minute, but he can chime in. But the whole idea with if anybody, I did not see the sequel because the first one was so damn good, The Day of the Jackal.
Yeah.
Well, the whole purpose, and that's why De Gaulle is as much of an ass as that guy could be. You know, he would only ride in a Citroen. Do you know why?
No.
Because there had been like three assassination attempts when he was in the Citroen, and he always came out alive.
He always survived.
Like the windows, the bullets didn't get through the windows or whatever it was.
It was bulletproof enough.
It was bulletproof enough where he always. But you know what his mortal sin was? Why the whole reason why education here, this group always was trying to assassinate De Gaulle, and they were going after him all the time. So all of a sudden, all the chatter stood down, and they're like, okay, what are these guys doing? Well, they hired some guy whose handle was called the Jackal. Nobody ever knew his who the hell that guy even was.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, the British, when it all was over and the Jackal was dead, there was an apartment in London that somebody had gone out. What you used to be able to do if you wanted somebody's identity, you'd walk out into a graveyard. I'm not teaching people anything. You walk out in the graveyard, you'd see, say if Carl or I or anybody would have had a baby that was born and like died in the first week.
Oh yeah, no, that's how you did it.
Yeah, you went out to the graveyard. You say, somebody Smith, born, January 1st, 1950.
Then you go get the
died January 5th, 1950. You'd go get the birth certificate and you basically destroy the death certificate.
Right.
So all of a sudden now you're that person. And you can go get any ID you want. And that
worked because until you became of working age, you didn't have any records within the formal system
of
being that person. Yeah.
As long as the person was close to your age, you were good to go. So anyway, so they figured out who the guy was, who the Jackal was, and they got his apartment staked out. And all of a sudden, this guy comes walking in, and they got the machine guns on him. He goes, what are you guys doing? He goes, you're arrested for being like the Jackal. And he goes, what are you talking about? I'm an oil guy. I've been an Indian doing an oil well for a while. They didn't even have the right guy. So they never found out who the guy. But anyway, the story was that De Gaulle shut down the French Foreign Legion.
Right.
Which is the same as if we shut down the CIA in South America.
Yeah.
When there's probably people down there from the CIA making a lot of money and doing stuff that maybe we don't want them to do. And that's why there was no reason for the French Foreign Legion. Those guys basically siphoned money off all those countries, right?
Yeah.
Algiers and the rest of those places. So,
pretty much.
So they were so pissed off at De Gaulle, they couldn't wait to kill him. So they hired this guy to go and do it. And he almost made it, right? But the book is so fascinating about how he went and, you know, the car had the license plates that rotated. Now he had a different old, he was able to repaint the car a couple times. He had the painting equipment in the car. Mm-hmm. The preparation to actually try and assassinate somebody is, well, the big thing is if you want to get away. If you want to kill somebody and you don't care if you get killed, well, that's a problem for the Secret Service, because that's dangerous. I mean, that, you know, you can be an amateur and be very dangerous, but if you're a professional, you don't want to get killed. So if you don't want to get killed, to be able for you to survive, how long did the guy in the book, was it 6 months? Where he reviewed every place De Gaulle was going to go and where the buildings were and where he could get a shot. Yeah. It was an amazing thing. But the gun, what about the gun? Well, I got the gun was able to be put in a crutch.
Right.
Where the top of the crutch, the pad was the pad for the gun, and all the things, pieces of the guns could slide in the tubes of the crutch. And he had those exploding bullets made. Remember that scene?
Yep.
He had these bullets that would explode. So he went out, he buys this big melon. And he
shot it, and it, boom.
Totally. Yeah. Well, he hit it with the regular bullets.
Yeah, it just went and put a hole in it.
Well, he's got the bullseye from, like, you know, 300 yards.
Well, yeah, and it's sighted in. Yeah.
But then he missed the bullseye by, like, what, maybe a quarter inch, and you see him pull out this little tiny screwdriver, and he adjusts the thing, and all of a sudden he hits it right in the middle. Then he puts one of the big bullets in, and the whole melon blows up, and you're getting, no, it's supposed to be somebody's head. That's not cool. Anyway, so my same question I asked Joel, and if we have Helen, am I too interest rate centric here, or am I convinced that if these things keep creeping up, the market's got a problem?
Oh no, you're in exactly the right place, and part of what's happening here, you know, as I pointed out, Chief, I've been watching this IRX TNX spread because it's really easy to graph, right? So it's, you know, you just put it up on your screen, and it continues.
You're talking about the IRX is what,
13 week
versus 10.
Right, so it's 10s versus the 13, okay?
You don't go out to the 30s. The 30s have been spreading more than the 10s.
Well, you could do that one, too, because the TYX is the 30. But, you know, looking at this, the market, the Fed has some control over the long end. They can play games, you know, with Operation Twist or, you know, QE, whatever have you.
Well, they can do it by buying them.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But then it goes on a balance sheet, and the balance sheet just went up again last week.
Right, and it goes out by that. On the other hand, you have Warsh, who's made an awful lot of noise that he wants to take a meat axe to the size of the Federal Reserve's balance sheet.
How's he going to do that? Lower rates? How can you do both?
Well, he's not going to lower rates. That's the, and the market is starting to suss this out, that you can't have a 7% fiscal deficit with 3.25% at the short end. You can't do it over a long period of time. And the interest expense is going vertical, and you're seeing other areas, all bad, go vertical as a result. That is eventually going to force some rectitude somewhere, because if you don't, people can't buy food anymore. And when that spiral occurs, it's not gradual. We've already done the gradual. It's why I've been warning about it for the last 10, 12 years, is that we did this. A large part of this came out of the stuff that was done with Obamacare and student loans, exclusively there. And where did it echo into? CMS. But I noted the problem in CMS in 1995.
I would have said 2000, but 1995 is probably correct.
Well, and I said at these rates of growth, in about 30 years, we're effed, okay?
Yeah.
Because it's a compound function. And people will be, oh, but it's all good. You know, it's that belly of the curve with inflation. And then you get it in the butt. Well, here we are, all right? So, yeah, I think it's a serious problem. And this, along with the crazy malinvestment that's come with this AI stuff.
Well, and you've got a ruler, and I'll call him a ruler, that doesn't understand, or appears to not understand, the system, and he's throwing grenades at the people who show up with the money every time there's an auction.
Well, Chief, listen, if you think that that's something new, Biden's view of this is just blow more money, so I don't know which is worse. They both suck.
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. The only thing on the Republican side, the only time they ever worry about a balanced budget is when the Democrats are in.
Well, I understand that. Duh. Hello. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Hell's
losing his time here, so I don't want to do that to him.
Oh, you guys are all right. It's the start of the summer term, so I'm cool.
Oh, God. Well, so when are you summer term? We're not even Memorial Day yet.
Yeah, summer term one started, and I picked up a class because one of my colleagues needed time off to do a research grant. So I was okay adding the class to my schedule.
If you get like $5 million for a research grant, can you pony Carl and I in there for a little piece? We'll do
there
some
we
work.
Go.
Yeah, the only way I get that is if I apply for a government grant, and I'm not going to do that because personally. Oh.
Then you have to put up with all the other crap that comes with
it. Well, you got to, I mean, in order to keep the money coming in, you got to produce the narratives that the federal government wants. So and I want nothing to do with that.
Hey, speaking of which, well, we still have Carl DeBody, as they say in the South Side. This $1.7 trillion slush fund that Trump just got out of this lawsuit, $1.7 billion, sorry. How exactly does the government office write that check? How can the Department of Justice?
Yeah, that is a weird one. It has to probably go into some account that he can't touch. I don't know, but
how does Congress not have to approve that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a court action. It was a lawsuit prior to the election. I think it started a couple years before the election, his election to the presidency. So. Yeah, I'm not sure how it works, and you know, it probably has to be put somewhere where he can't touch it. I mean, until he's out of office again.
He plans to use it to pay legal bills of his buddies that he thinks have been harmed by the IRS.
Maybe he will. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the IRS has a history of you know, slow walking, conservative. Tax-free organizations, and it was weaponized under the Obama administration. So,
I don't buy that. To be honest with you.
A lot of conservatives in the red states, Tom, felt it.
I know they did because they were told that.
Yeah. I think they felt it.
Chief, there's plenty of. The bias goes with whoever happens to have appointed the chair in the department at the time, all right? And anyone that doesn't think that that's the case...
I know people...
I think that's nuts.
But the along the way, help me with this, because the Democrats went one route in essentially abusing campaign finance laws, and the Republicans went another route. I forget what the Democrats used, but
what was Lois doing meeting with people on the tarmac? I mean, come on.
I understand that, but my point is, on the Republican side, they went with these 403, whatever those things are, the charitable trusts or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, but so the charitable trusts.
I don't think there should be any nonprofits. I mean, you got revenues.
I'm with you. So
expenses and you know, if I got to pay taxes. On my difference, you got to pay taxes on your difference.
From what I remember about this, and I'm not saying the Democrats weren't just as heinous, they might have been worse, but the particular thing that the Republicans were pissed about, and I think they're assholes because of it, is because the idea, the focus they were using, they were supposed
what
to be...
What year was this?
This is, 8 years ago, 10 years, it's been recent. But the focus they were using were the 403, something like that? Boy, it's foggy. But you're only supposed to use 20% of what the place does. 80% of it's supposed to be charities for, like, wheelchairs for people.
You're talking about C6s as opposed to C3s.
And only 20% of it was supposed to be used for politics. Well, that was totally abused. And these people for the election were applying for these things, and every one of them essentially had to be approved by the IRS. And the idea was, I want mine approved next week. Well, I'm not going to approve it next week. There's a process. It takes a while. Everything in the government takes a while. And because the IRS was dragging their heels, maybe politically, maybe not, all of a sudden this became a huge hue and cry that this Democratic IRS guy wasn't approving our thing, which we're obviously going to use 80% for politics and 20% for charity. He wasn't approving it fast enough. Well, screw that. Screw that. Now, the Democrats...
Again, we can get rid of all this nonsense by eliminating this nonsense that these are nonprofits. They're not nonprofits. They had expenses, right. And they got revenues.
Well, the Democrats did something just as horrible. But it was a different way.
I'm saying eliminate it all on both sides.
Well, the Democrats were taking money from
if
overseas.
They have income and they have expenses, they got profit and they got to pay taxes. I got to do it, they got to do it.
Well, Hillary was taking money for the foundation overseas and using that money for the campaign, which is legal to sell too. So I'm not saying one side or the other, but the idea that the Republicans feel so personally abused because these guys.
They did in an earlier period. No, I think it was justified.
Chief, look, I was a treasurer for a congressional campaign, all right? And
they didn't like your guy, so you had to do it right.
Well, and I'll tell you what, under the law, and because, of course, before I agreed to do it, I read the actual law.
You're the first one. You're the only one.
Well, I'm probably the only one that actually followed it, right? But here's the thing. Under the law, if I had any knowledge of the possibility of that, you know, contribution, I mean, $100 coming from some foreigner, right? I could go to prison for that.
We all agree that everyone who was supposed to use 80% for charity, they use 80% for politics on the Republican side, belongs to be in jail. And everybody who gave money to Hillary's foundation and had the money seep into her campaign, they and Hillary should be in jail. I think we all agree.
They should all go to jail, right.
I mean, but now how big of the jail have to be? We'd have to use the alligator, whatever the thing is.
Alligator Alcatraz works fine. Just leave the gate open, and they can all go ahead and try to escape.
You know, this is you know what this weekend this week is, you know. It's a great alligator harvest.
Well, you know, there's way too many alligators, and then the other problem you have down there in the Everglades in particular is you've got all these pythons because people dump their they get this cute snake and then it gets to be about 5 or 6 feet and all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, this thing wants to constrict me.
They have a big python roundup too, and then some lady corral like 15 pythons. Some lady.
Have you guys heard about the feral hogs, wild hogs in Spain?
In
Italy.
We got them here too.
Yeah, in Texas. Yeah.
Well, in
what's his name? Wang Bang,
Nugent,
Ping Kang, or whatever his name is. Nugent.
Yeah.
He flies around and shoots them.
Well, in Florida, they're considered
in a helicopter.
Well, in Florida, they're considered an invasive species. You can shoot them at any time of the year.
Yeah.
And
are they good to eat? I'm just curious if they're good to eat.
It's a pig.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's going to be a little more muscular than your average pig.
Well, but it's a pig.
Yeah, probably slow roast it then.
Yeah, it's like trying to eat a bull.
Well, but I mean, you know, could you take it and throw it in the smoker?
You could make sausage out of it.
You know what? I bet they make pretty decent pork. Maybe I'm speaking from experience on this.
That'd be weird to eat like a wild, gamey type of pork. That might be interesting.
Well, you know, I have a. I won't say the name. I won't say he's a CPA or anything. He runs a big firm, but it's a big manly thing now to go on these feral pig hunts. I mean, I think he's from
a helicopter. Oh yeah, yeah, man.
But you know what the thing is? If you do it right, you corral the thing. You track it.
Right.
And three guys hold it, and you stab it. If you're the guy who stabs it, it's like your right of. The testosterone, you know, doubles in your body or something.
Yeah. Well, I think we got to get a helicopter. We got to get a helicopter and go up with Agent Johnson and Agent Johnson from Die Hard.
Yeah. Die Hard.
would you stab the damn thing with four people holding it? I couldn't.
Chief, I'll tell you what. If you've never seen one of those things out in the wild, okay, and
it's nasty.
They are about as evil as it gets.
Yeah.
And, they're little devils. They're extremely violent. And very strong.
Yeah.
And
they got to be like a couple hundred pounds. You don't want to mess with them.
Oh, no, Chief. They're more like 500.
But they, I think you're not going to stop one with a handgun.
You probably will eventually kill it, but it gets to maul you first.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's like my brother Todd. When Todd was in his 20s and he got mad, you didn't want to touch him because you shoot him and he's just like a bear. He's going to get madder.
Well,
you're going to get mauled.
That's exactly like, you know, okay, I used to hike with one of my girlfriends years ago, and she's you know, out in the backcountry. She's like, well, are you going to bring a gun? And I said, well, what for? She says, a bear. I said, all the handguns that I have, if I shot a bear with one, all I'm going to do is piss him off.
Well, the best thing allegedly is the bear spray.
Yeah,
well, okay.
I mean, you got a better chance.
I mean, if you're out west where you've got browns and grizzlies, the black bears we have around here don't tend to be.
You guys,
grizzlies are a problem. Yeah,
grizzlies are a whole different game.
That's a whole different game. But
it's like an African animal. African animals generally attack humans, but most American animals in the wild, they try to avoid humans, except for, I think, the grizzly.
Browns and grizzlies will attack you just for grins.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily because they want to eat you. They just do it. It's kind of like a bull shark. Bull sharks will bite you just because they want to.
Mr. Skier, did you ever go skiing up in Banff?
I have not been there, but Sarah has been up there hiking.
The skiing's weird because you're above the tree line.
You guys say Banff?
Yeah. Banff.
No, Banff. It's
B-A-N-F-F.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's in Canada, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what
British Columbia?
You fly into Calgary, then you drive one direction.
Well, actually, you can drive in from, but you come in through the United States northward. She's been up there with her camper.
Well, we flew into Calgary and rented a car, right? So, so you're entering the park.
Yeah.
When you enter the park, they give you this big leaflet on bears.
Yeah.
And they say if you see a brown bear, if he's heading away from you and he keeps going, you feel free to set up camp. You know, just make sure the food's away from the tent and blah, blah, blah.
Right, right.
So if you see a grizzly, turn around and walk, put at least a day between you and him.
Oh, yeah, no, they got the thing, and they had bear spray, and you know, because you can't have guns in Canada, okay, so that wasn't an option. As I pointed out at the time, I said, "Look, what do you want me to carry? A 357 Magnum or a Cossel or something like that?" Anything less than that, a little handgun is basically going
to
be.
With that bear spray, you have to get him in the face too.
Yeah,
yeah. And that's kind of hard to do when he's coming at you.
Well, if he's about to bite you, you get one crack at it.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever? When I did my concealed carry, which I never went and got a gun because all I did was find out all the places you couldn't carry anything, so I couldn't carry it anywhere anyway. So let's put it this way. If you're law-abiding, you can't even have a concealed carry.
Well, if you're not law-abiding, you can take the gun anywhere you want.
Well, that's right. Well, but otherwise, exactly. If you are law-abiding, the only thing you could do is I could drive to work with it in the morning in the dark, okay? And I could bring it into the office and put it in a safe in here, but I couldn't go to God love you if you had a beer with one of them. You don't want to do that.
Oh, yeah. No, you can't go to
a bar. You can't go to a bar. You can't go to a restaurant.
Doesn't have to be transported in the trunk, too?
No, not if you can conceal carry. Hell no.
Well, in the Northeast, I think along Interstate 95, you have to put in the trunk.
Oh, not see now in Tennessee, you can strap without no permits anymore. There's none of that.
But in like I think Virginia and Maryland, you have to put it in the.
No, you can have it in a attached to your leg or something if you're in a car. But anyway,
but you still can't bring it in a bar though. Here.
No.
Yeah.
And plus, you don't ever want to have a drink with it. Boy, if you ever shot somebody and they found alcohol in your blood, write your ticket.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, so. You ever see these little derringers? I don't know who makes the damn things.
Yeah. But
they are the most ingenious thing I've ever seen. They have five or six, because you haven't seen them, five or six different, the thing is a two barrels in the front, right? Well, there's five or six sizes.
Yeah.
Where you can get one with a real tiny bottom barrel and a really big upper barrel. And all you do, you can take them out with a little Allen wrench and just replace one to the other. And one of them, they call it a snake slayer.
Right.
Which is actually a shotgun shell because
it's a 410. It's a 410 shell.
Yeah, because there's no way unless you're the Lone Ranger, you're going to nail a snake with a regular bullet.
No, you got to spray it.
Well, and then they have something called the bear, where the thing the top is like it's like a. They said your hand may be hurting for a month if you had to actually shoot the damn thing, but the top is like some military. The barrel is huge. You're not going to stop a grizzly, but you can make a dent in a brown bear with the thing. Can you imagine what it does
to
your
hand?
Well,
you only get one. Yeah, you only get one. Right, and then he gets a bite. Then he gets a bite. That's the problem.
Anyway, so, Hal, I've been talking about you, and last week, Larissa, kind of takes all this together because she's the professor and the family head, and... By the way, Carl, what did you think of Katie talking about all the different places ordering the tests and the overhead and stuff for the hospitals last week and how high they all were? God, it was interesting, wasn't it?
I didn't hear that one. I wasn't up on the show listening to it. But yeah, this is if we do not gut like a fish, the medical industry in this country,
we have to gut it. Yeah,
it has to, because that's where the problem is at the federal budget level as well. If we don't do that, this is going to fold back, and this recession that's been triggered by this nonsense with the with the strait, there's no way around this. And if it's mismanaged like it was in the 1970s, oh God, okay. So But there's absolutely no political will to go after this on either side of the aisle. It doesn't matter who you elect.
One of my good friends...
Well, that's because the medical cartel, the hospitals, the drug companies, they own these politicians with political contributions.
Well, and it's not
on
just
both
that.
Sides.
Pal, it's not just that. It's that if you go to become a doctor, by the time you get out of medical school, and then you have to deal with the residency stuff and everything else, you're $250,000 or more in the hole.
Yeah, yeah. And then you got to get a job at a hospital because the hospitals are turning into these regional monopolies that are putting out all these family clinics.
Well, yeah, and they own all the local practices at the primary care area. And then the bigger problem with that is, oh, we don't like you. Well, guess what? You don't match it without residency. You can't practice. You have the MD, but it doesn't do you any good.
Well, I talked to right up your guys' alley. I talked to two people yesterday, one of whom is some issues in the hospital, getting all these tests and so forth. And I said, do you have a quarterback? Is there somebody riding herd on all these other people? Because the person told me, if I called one of these guys in the hospital, they're going to say, what are you calling me for? They're all ordering tests, they're all billing, they're all doing, God knows what. He said, well, my guy's retiring, I got to find a new guy. Well, then I talked to somebody else who just went to a doctor yesterday, a specialist, and said the guy still has his own practice. He hasn't co-opted yet. People around him that worked there were so good. The guy spent enough time. He goes, it was so refreshing. I feel so good I found this guy.
Well, it's you're basically back in the 1970s and before when you actually saw a physician. He actually examined you.
Yeah.
And they weren't always right, but at least you got a decent crack at it as opposed to this formulaic, here, have a pill, have a stab, have whatever.
Let's treat your symptoms and not the disease.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, she said it was so refreshing. And the other person is telling me, I better get another person. These guys in the hospital, I got like five doctors. Now one of them take my call. Yet they're all ordering stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if they're talking. They probably aren't.
Yeah.
It's
well, it's like academia. Everybody's so hyper-specialized, and you have this problem with the number of general practitioners that are being produced. Everybody wants to specialize because that's where all the money is.
Right.
And it's like academia. Everybody's highly specialized. Everybody is like a hyper-expert in a very tiny area of economics or whatnot. And you have very few really good general economists. You have very few really good general physicians. Everybody is hyper-focused because that's where the money is and that's where the power is.
Yep.
Well, it's interesting. Audrey's dad has been dead a while, but got a guy made it like 97 when he's absolute top of his faculties. We went for hip surgery, and the doctor comes out, and he's taller than me, for God's sake, which was rare at the time. I'm talking with him. He goes, I got out of school, and I did my orthopedic here and there, and I went to this. I wanted to go to a place where I could help everybody out. I think he said he went to downtown Seattle somewhere in some crummy neighborhood. No, I'm going to get everything. Motorcycle crashes, you name it, bullets. And he goes, I don't want to be the knee guy. I want to be the guy where if somebody gets hurt, I fix them.
Yeah.
And it was so refreshing. He goes, and I think I'm pretty damn good. And boy, he did a great job. And her dad, boy, he was up walking in a day and wandering around. And, it's funny. These guys don't normally, I'm no doctor, but the guy's in his 90s. So he had one hip replaced. A couple of years later, the other one needs some work. And I said to the guy, he's getting up there. And he just had the other one done. And I'm not so sure that, the full anesthesia is a good idea. And he goes, well, we really like to use that because then the guy doesn't move or anything. He comes down afterward. He goes, everything's fine. Everything was real easy. The guy was the same weight as he was in the Army. He looks at me and he goes, by the way, I use the spinal. I agree with you. He said, I could. He goes, I use the spinal. You're right. He didn't need to be put out twice in the same year and a half. And, some of these guys really know their stuff and actually give a crap. And other guys, it's like you say, it's just,
Well, the more it monopolizes... The more it's monopolized by the state, the rules, regulations, con laws, and licensing, anytime you have a monopoly, they don't care about customer service. They don't have to care about the patient. They just do their thing. It's like the third party. It's like the easy pass on Interstate 95. They don't care if you have good service. They don't care if they hold your recharging your easy pass for 4 days and then give you a bunch of fines because you don't have any money on your easy pass. It's like a public school. It's monopolized. They don't care if your kids actually learn anything. Now, so we, what we need is, and I think what's going on here is this is intentional. We want to make our healthcare system so bad that they turn it into a single payer system, and there's a competition who gets to run that. Nobody wants to take out the garbage, but everybody wants to run the Bishop's Warehouse.
Nobody wants to clean the portalette, but you want the portalette.
They want to run the dispensary.
Yep.
Yeah.
What the?
So there's competition for who's going to run the single payer system. But that's the push.
But who's behind? Well, we got to go to break noon. Yeah. Who's the man behind the curtain here? Is that you, Al? Is it? I don't think so.
It's not me. If it was me, man, we would have. The only thing I would dictate if I was the dictator and I was running the thing behind the curtain is the only law I'd ever make is the only kind of McFlurry you can have is Oreo. Other than that, you do whatever you want to do. Because
you sound like my gym teacher who recently passed. we only have one rule: obey all the other rules.
Well, hey, consumers are the most brutal regulators.
Oh, God,
yeah. If you mess with them, they fire you immediately.
They're
the most brutal regulators.
But, hey, real quick, this is something Carl would do. I went to try to get in this restaurant near my house. But, you know, the guy sold it. And now we got a new place. It's corporate-owned, right? And the place has been mobbed since day one because it got Yelped. And now one of our producers now has a new job in marketing. And his first thing with the entry-level people, he says, "Chief, I'm writing articles, but don't worry, nobody's ever going to read them." And I go, "What do you mean nobody's going to read them?" He goes, "Well, I'm writing them to trick AI into thinking this firm is bigger than it is, and they go up the Google thing." I go, "How do you write the articles like that?" He goes, "Well, I use AI." I go, "Wait a minute. You use AI to write the article to trick AI?" And he goes, "Yeah, they're good at it." So this place, I heard about I have the feeling that before the place even opened, the corporation hired somebody or they have somebody internally that started Yelping the place we weren't even there.
Yeah.
Why would you not? I mean, I guess I could hire somebody to Yelp PTI Security. These guys are the greatest. You wouldn't believe how much money this chief guy made. I mean, I would never do that, but I think, Carl, it's got to be happening all over the place.
Well, it does, and here's the other problem, though, that comes with this. I think I related this on the show at one point. If you have a business that is customer-facing and somebody decides to attack you, this can be done the other direction, leaving one-star reviews that are complete bullshit that have nothing to do with anything that really happened. Yelp will not take them down. They're defamatory as hell. You have no idea who it was. And this social media stuff has good points, but it also is very easy to abuse. And if you get targeted if you get targeted for some reason, it can be extremely bad. I know people that have been fired over one-star reviews that were complete crap. They were totally within, not only were they within the policy of the company and what they did, but they were polite and nice about it. The person just didn't like the policy. Okay, so, you know, if you've got a policy and some customer doesn't like it, the person who that ought to be taken out against is the management.
Oh, their manager's never managing.
Well, there should be a court action where Yelp can be held accountable for allowing the defamation.
Yeah, well, that never happens. And the
if Yelp could be sued for allowing the defamation in a defamation lawsuit.
Oh yeah,
I think they would change their behavior immediately.
Oh, without a doubt. S&P futures down 25. NASDAQ is down 172. You know, real quick break, guys. Ricky, we'll keep this one short. There's not much going on here other than the same as where we were when we came in. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Loan Open, Stocks and Jacks. I'm talking about Ricky on the board. SP Futures down 25, NASDAQ Futures down 175. We're up a little bit when we came in, but that's kind of sort of where we have been. We've got the Dow's down 88, individual stocks in the Dow, nothing crazy. We got Caterpillar down $10. It was down yesterday as well. That thing moves around an awful lot for a construction company, but it's been Microsoft up 390, Salesforce up 350, but other than that, Visa has been going up the last few days, and I wonder if we come back, if Carl or Hal want to, I wonder if that has to do with the fact that Discovery is essentially going out of business. We'll get those guys' opinion on that. Over in Europe, we've got the we got interest rates. The 30-year is unchanged, and the 10-year is actually down six basis points. But it was unchanged all day yesterday and then snuck up on the close. But we're at 5.15 on the 30-year, and we're 4.62 on the 10-year, which, you know, we couldn't break through 4.5, couldn't break through 5, and then all of a sudden we did. Ricky, why don't you, I got so much stuff on here. Why don't you do a quick graphic weather sports and I'll get back to Europe.
Absolutely. Good morning, Chief. It's currently 7:42 a.m. here in Chicago. We're looking at 70 degrees right now with a high of 79. Very warm this morning. Considerable cloudiness and breezy with a couple of showers and a thunderstorm. Tonight will be mostly cloudy and cooler with a low of 52 degrees. Phoenix, Arizona, 68 degrees right now with a high of 92. Mostly sunny all day. And tonight will be partly cloudy with a low of 70 degrees. Traffic in Chicago. There's a disabled vehicle reported on the right shoulder of Stephen on northbound at Central Avenue, exit 285, causing some delays and heavy traffic from Harlem to Pulaski Road. Heavy traffic on Kennedy in both directions, particularly around Foster Avenue, exit 83A, due to bridge work. Mount Eisenhower from Wolf is 45 minutes, and then Ryan from 95th is 30 minutes. Sports super quick. Cubs lose to Brewers 9-3, and Sox lose to Mariners 6-1. Diamondbacks beat Giants 12-2 yesterday. And today we got rematches. Brewers at Cubs, 6:40 p.m. White Sox at Mariners, 8:40 p.m. And Giants at Diamondbacks at 8:40 p.m. as well. For the NHL, yesterday Canadians beat Sabres 3-2 and win the series 4-3. Now we move on to conference finals on May 20th, where the Golden Knights face Avalanche at 7 p.m. NBA, yesterday Spurs beat Thunder 122-115 with 41 points by Victor Wembanyama. Tonight at 7 p.m. we have Game 1 of East Finals, Cavaliers at Knicks. Battle with you, Chief.
The DAX up 307, 1.3%, FTSE up 60.6%, CAC around up 59.7, so bullish in Europe. Over in Asia, Nikkei down 265.4%, Hang Seng up 122.5%, Shanghai up 38%. Asia markets trade mixed as oil eases after Trump delays planned Iran strike. Well, there you go. Bonds, like I said, unchanged at 4.61. We've got oil on 48 cents, but still 108.13. RBOB 369. Again, add like a buck to that, and that's what you're paying, $1.20, and that's where everybody is. Gold, we've got gold is actually up a little bit because it was down yesterday. Gold, actually, no, it's down 940, so it was up earlier. So we're down 80 cents. We've got foreign exchange, which has been going all over the place. Euro's at 116. It was over 117 a week ago. British pound 134. It was over 35 a week ago. Crypto up 94 cents, $94, 76.836. Hey, did you guys watch when you have... When people talk about how you're supposed to behave these days, well, the Sox are playing the Cubs, right? And in Sox Park, this area in right field, it's kind of a picnic area, which is like a screen where people can stand there and eat, and there's no wall. It's something you can see through. It's like a cyclone fence, but it's probably nicer. So the guy in the Cubs, Pete Crow Armstrong, the center fielder, goes and tries to make this incredible catch, goes up and just misses it, jumps way the hell up. He crashes in the wall, and the guy's laying down on the ground. They didn't know if the guy was dead or not. So the dude, right fielder, comes over to see if he's all right after throwing the ball in. Meanwhile, some enraged lady is in there, it's this blonde whatever, starts pointing at him and yelling crap at him. And when he gets up, he kind of shakes his head off, makes sure all his parts are together, said something like, go bleep yourself or something. Now the guy's being, why wasn't that lady ejected?
Yeah, she should have been.
Yeah, what is, how do you start... What manner of person starts giving somebody crap when you think they're hurt?
I think that's the reason why people turn off these professional sports, because I don't know who runs this stuff. I mean, a woman like that screaming at a player like that who slammed into the wall.
And he's laying on the ground.
Yeah, she should be ejected. I wouldn't put up with it.
No, and
I don't care.
And everybody's all over him.
No fan wants to sit next to her either.
Well, and he's making all the apologies in the world. I shouldn't have said what I said. Well, what should you have said? Thank you very much.
Well, I was a hothead in my 20s, and I probably would have said something worse.
Well, when you start cheering, they think somebody's hurt. I don't. Yeah. Boy, oh boy. I know it's a non-violent person in the world.
What fan wants to sit next to a fan like that? I wouldn't want to sit next to her.
Anyway, so we've got things ticking kind of the wrong way here. The interest rate's going up. We've got the last few auctions. My brother watches those like a hawk. Said the last few auctions have been kind of crummy, but evidently enough people have showed up. And we've got, some of the countries that we rely on most to give us money to invest here. Japan and UK having trouble. So this morning, UK unemployment rate's up a bunch. Is there any way to, if we had Solomon in charge, is there a way to stop this before there's a problem, or are we past the point of no return?
You know, I don't know. I mean, it's really hard to predict how M2 is going to come out of the banking system with interest on reserves. And, you know, all I know is that it's not sustainable. We can't continue to do this. Eventually, we're going to run out of buyers of government debt. We're at, what, $40 trillion now?
I don't know. I'll
and
check in
there. There's no slowdown in the near future. There's no push to stop slapping on the debt. Now we're accepting $1 trillion budget deficits annually.
Isn't that why normal people generally vote for, if you're going to vote for Republicans, that's why you do it, because they're supposed to be...
They're supposed to be, better stewards of the money, but they're not.
But somehow we managed to lose that. Yeah. They're better stewards of the money when the Democrats are in office.
Yeah, they only lied about this when the Democrats are running these...
You're almost there. 39,262 in the national debt.
Yeah.
But you know what's... And, Carl tried to explain this to me one day, but either I didn't listen right or he failed miserably, one or the other. Why is it that the national debt is growing faster than if you look at the fiscal report that says it's going to grow, we were $1.7 trillion short last year, $1.5 trillion, but the national debt grew $3 trillion. How could it be growing faster than the receipts versus expenditures? But it is.
Yeah.
There's something, Carl had an explanation for it.
Well, I think there's some unofficial siphoning off. Somehow, I think money is siphoning off the system. There's some interesting theories on YouTube and X about siphons.
I think some of it has to do with.
I think that when you have that big of a budget, money just disappears.
Well, I think there's something that has to do with the one if one group of government owns another group, it comes into the national debt even though it's not supposed to be there. There's some story like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, when you look at
you can't really believe anything the federal government says. I mean,
I think
caught up in so many lies over the last 120-130 years.
I'm curious where they're going to write their $1.7 billion check for Trump's slush fund for his buddies.
I don't know.
If you don't have a congressional approval, what does the Constitution say that the spending has to come out of the Congress, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how any of this stuff works.
I am happy that it is possible to sue the federal government, because they really make some boneheaded decisions. And when economists talk about market failures, I always point out, hey, market failures are molehills next to the mountains of government failure.
I think it should be possible for you to do it. I don't think it should be possible for Trump to do it, because those people are his employees.
But I think that lawsuit started before he became president.
Okay, the fact is, he's president now.
Yeah,
I don't think it did, but it might have. I don't know.
Well, a lot of these actions that the media is kind of outraged about, the Southern Poverty Law Center, a lot of that stuff, those investigations started in the previous administration. So whenever some controversial court case comes out, I always look at when the investigation started. And if it started in the Trump administration and it's reconciled during the Trump administration, then there's probably something wrong with it. But if it started in a previous administration, then there's probably something to it.
Okay, but now we in this show, and we have we have some of the best people that walk the earth, I think. In this show, you sort of can't have it both ways.
If
you and I are elected president. Oh, God. Can you imagine the two-headed monster? And we think that people who abuse...
I think the CIA would take us out.
Probably. But if you think...
The JFK.
If you think people that abuse the law should have to pay for it, there should be consequences, which I think both of us do. Carl does. Kevin does.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, if you break the law, you should be...
Okay, so how is it...
tried and convicted.
So if I'm in the Oval Office 3 years from now, how do I not go after this guy and everybody in that White House from insider trading, and yet somebody's going to say it's all a witch hunt? I'm going after the other side. Yet I look and see what the guys are doing. It's as crooked as hell.
Well, then they have their media allies, right?
Yeah.
So if you're a progressive, if you don't like what somebody you're debating with says about your politician, you're going to say, oh, you watch Fox News. And the same thing happens on the right. Oh, you watch New York Times. We're so siloed. Social media has so siloed us.
Why is it? I mean, everybody accused me of being this flaming liberal, which I'm not, by the way. Probably the right of a toad.
I describe you as an old blue dog Democrat.
Probably. But I watch the stuff on that comes from the...
Like a Frank Church type of Democrat.
Probably.
Yeah.
Dan Inouye, Paul Simon.
And, you know, by the way, I think when he took on the CIA in the 1970s, I think the CIA took him out with Steve Sims' Republican challenge. I think he was taken out by Steve Sims.
Probably, but if you're...
The CIA needed to silence him.
But how do you... The thing that I don't get about, and I have people close to me watching Newsmax and Fox, I go on YouTube once in a while and I see this stuff from the left. And I listen to it and I go, God, is that bullshit? Why would anybody listen to that? And I'm supposed to be liberal. And yet, yeah. I see the same thing on the right.
Oh, no,
I'll go in some place, I'll go in some place and Newsmax is on it, and I go, why does anybody listen to this? It's all bullshit.
But Tom, I think if we know the history of media in the United States, that's kind of always been the case.
No, it's not.
During revolutionary years, you had the pamphleteers, and the pamphleteers are partisans.
I get it, but I mean... But in my youth,
social media has made it worse. It's always been partisan.
I'm a little older than you. I mean, that doesn't make it good or bad. It just means I'm around longer. But the news used to be, the 6 o'clock news at night. You only had three networks, and Channel 9 did their thing.
And the news only lasted a half hour.
It was an hour. So went to an hour. But the idea was every station essentially gave up an hour of programming for the news. Yeah. Now, granted,
that's part of their license, right? They had to provide that public.
Walter Cronkite wanted more people than the people who were on Channel 5. So there was some competition there. But they basically gave the news, right? I mean, and they really didn't, they weren't on one side or the other. Matter of fact, when Walter Cronkite went to Vietnam and came back, and all of a sudden, I don't think the network wanted him to do this. He goes, I was just over there. There's no war to win here, or something along those lines. That changed people's... Because he was a guy that everybody believed was straight as can be. And when he said, we got no business over there, it was a massive change.
The problem with that media back then was they didn't question enough what happened with JFK. They didn't question it. They didn't question enough what happened to RFK or Malcolm X or MLK. They didn't question enough. They accepted the narrative of the federal government.
Well, you had a massive, how long did the Warren Commission, they were around, 18 months, 12 months doing this?
It's almost like they went along with it.
Well, the stuff that came out after, it's crazed to this day, but I was just talking about the Day of the Jackal. You don't walk up to a school depository and have people just happen to come your way. I mean, it takes a little more planning than that, I think. But
have you seen the remake of the Day of the Jackal? It's called The Jackal with Bruce Willis.
I have not. I said earlier, but the other one followed the book like word for word to the second.
Yeah, the original movie that you're talking about was almost verbatim with the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you watch like even the Born Identity.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got, what's his name, doing all these stunts and all this stuff.
Matt Damon?
Yeah. Well, there is a first one. It was a miniseries. Mm. It was with, The reason I remember, my favorite lady of all time was the one on, she was one of Charlie's Angels, the redhead.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Oh, my God, she's drop dead gorgeous.
All I remember is Farrah Fawcett.
It was Farrah Fawcett, and then it was Jacqueline Smith. Jacqueline Smith. Boy, if I could flip back 30 years, I'd get her phone number if I could. But anyway, but she was in with Dr. Kildare was the guy. Richard Chamberlain was the Jason Bourne. And it followed the book word for word. It's fantastic.
What year was that?
Oh, God. It had to be. That's that far after the book came out, but it has to be how many hours long. It was a miniseries.
Yeah.
But it was.
It was 1970s?
Yeah, but he was maybe a little later. It was well after Charlie's Angels.
Maybe it's 80s.
Yeah, so. But it followed the thing, you know, word for word for word. And it was really, really something. You know, it moves slower than people like today.
It's a two-part movie. Yeah, with Richard Chamberlain.
Yeah.
And Jaden Smith.
Well, Jacqueline Smith.
Jaden Smith?
Who's that? There was a couple of guys.
I don't think it was Jacqueline Smith.
Yeah, it was. Who's the lady?
I'm looking at the picture of the.
She was the angel, Charlie's angel, or whatever.
I'm looking at the picture, and it doesn't look like Jacqueline Smith.
Well, whatever. There might have been, but it was.
I think it's a Jacqueline Smith wannabe.
Maybe.
I mean, Hollywood usually does that, right? Bush is Pearl Jam. Stone Temple Pilots is Pearl Jam.
But anyway, if you get a chance, it's going to be slower, but it's essentially word for word.
Yeah.
And they're talking about people that are assassinating people, people getting hired to assassinate people. And tell you what, it's pretty scary. And, you know, because the guy was a Vietnam War dude.
I think Hollywood has always had kind of a revolving door with the CIA and the Department of Defense. And I think what we see in movies, they want us to think it's fiction. But I think a lot of what we see in the movies is reality. It's not really fiction. It's maybe it's over-exaggerated.
Well, what you're going to see in movies, I mean, I actually bought...
for example, the Swiss banks. I mean, why do we have Swiss banks? I think one of the purposes of the Swiss banks is to finance these black ops. I think that's true.
Well, somebody has to do it.
Yeah. I mean, that's why Swiss was allowed to be untouched during World War II, I think, because they're running these black ops for all these countries throughout the world.
Well, the point on this stuff is that there's always been this stuff around, in terms of people assassinating people and stuff. You gotta be careful on this. I mean, there's so much money that is under the table.
Yeah.
In this country, I mean, you see the people that have been put in office, and I'll say Obama, all of a sudden, you know, the road was greased for him.
Yeah, it was.
You'll see.
He wasn't even supposed to be president. It was supposed to be Hillary Clinton, but the Democratic voters said no. They picked some basically unknown guy from Chicago. He had done a year and a half in the Senate. Before that, he was a local politician, a state politician.
Jacqueline Smith
was supposed to be Hillary Clinton that year.
She was in the Bourne Identity.
The Democratic
voters
said no.
She was in the Bourne Identity right after in 1988. Anyway, you wonder when you're voting. I mean, who are you voting for? I mean, are these people all got to? I mean, we talk about it on the show.
Yeah, it was Jacqueline Smith. You're right. Yeah.
We talk about it on the show all the time. When somebody, I mean, we talk, you know, the half hour we had with Carl, these people are getting so much money from the medical professions, for various sides, be it pharmacy, be it whatever. At what point are you bought? I mean, you have some people, and I'll put Clinton in that group. He could go get money from people, and by the time he walked out the front door, he forgot where he got it from.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he had zero morals. When I say morals, he had, or maybe he had a lot of morals. I don't know, one or the other. If he told that guy, you know, he was gonna make sure that his company got to be number one, as soon as he walked out the front door, he forgot he told him that.
Yeah.
But I'd have a problem accepting money from somebody and then 2 days later doing something exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
So I don't know, what does that mean? Only rich people can run? I don't know. That's not what you want either.
Well, when you have a $7 trillion budget, you know, $500 million being scraped off, or half a trillion dollars, $400 million being scraped off wouldn't be surprising to me at all. And I think that's...
Well, when was the last...
Why you find these discrepancies between different metrics for the national debt?
Well, I think it has to do with, if you take forward...
I think a lot of it's black ops.
But when you take forward on your side, when you talk about the money and the thing from the academic side...
Yeah.
I mean, I hope I'm learning that from you, that you're learning stuff from other people on the show, maybe from me, that, hey, people don't have any idea even what that kind of money works. I mean, if you and I went into four bars tonight, not that we want to, and just struck up a conversation.
Randomly chosen bars.
Where people would say, well, I can't believe it costs, $100 million to run for president. And if I were to say something, or you were to say, do you have any idea how many people, how many companies there are that would gladly pick up that whole check? Because the amount of money that the federal government tosses around.
They can tilt the state in their favor.
Yeah, what is one drug that gets approved ahead of the next guy?
Yeah.
I mean the amount of money that even the mayor here in Chicago can dish out, because Chicago's doing so crummy, maybe not, but what about the governor of Texas on all these road projects? You tell me a new road construction firm wouldn't pay for his whole campaign? I mean, the amount of money...
Well, my grandpa was a county commissioner in Bonneville County, and one of his major projects was to secure federal funding to straighten what was called Snar Road out. Or no, Osgood Road. He straightened out Osgood Road, and he lived on Osgood Road. You know, it had like a curve in it that he didn't like, and he got a federal grant to get it straightened. So, I mean, that happens at the county commissioner level. And my grandpa was a pretty innocent dude. I mean, he wasn't a crook at all. He didn't have any kind of massive wealth, but he was a county commissioner that got a grant from the federal government. And if that's happening at the county level, guess what's happening at the federal level, where all the money and decisions are made?
The second mayor, Richard M. Daley, he was in the same club as us. And actually, he's a good buddy of my brother's, because they would work out on Saturday, only two in the place. But I see him once in a while, and we talk. So one day, somebody new just got elected for the representative spot. And I said, we're in a steam room together, believe it or not. And I go, man, how can you tell somebody's first term if they're doing a good job as a rep? And he goes, you have to bring X number of money back to your district.
Yep, yeah.
And he goes, I hope you think I'm doing a good job at mayor. He goes, you don't want to waste anything. You don't want to be a part of national waste. But if they're hauling out the dough, you better get some for your district.
Yeah, you're not going to last very long.
But he goes, not just you're not going to last, your people deserve it.
I read an article about, not Ross Perot, not Rand Paul, his dad, Ron Paul.
Yeah.
And Ron Paul, like, always voted against these massive bills with all this pork in it. And he would talk about how they had to get rid of pork barrel projects and maybe give the president a line item veto to eliminate this stuff. But I read this article that suggested his district was one of the biggest beneficiaries of the pork.
Well, the,
so you can hide behind your vote, too, in Congress.
Last crazy comment for me is, right, I went out when my parents died, kind of close apart. I used it as an excuse to go buy this old pickup down in Tucson, right? I never come back.
That's the place you want to buy a pickup, by the way. You use pickup because there's no salt on the roads.
Yeah, no salt. So you're trying to find one.
It's dry. And it's dry.
Yeah, but try and find one that doesn't have, 9 million miles on it. But anyway, so I'm driving back, and Bush had just got elected. Actually, Obama just got elected. So I'm driving along, and I'm going through northern Arizona, New Mexico, and Route 40, which is kind of the new half-ass 66.
That's weird country there.
Oh, God, yeah. And interesting stuff. So all of a sudden, I entered Texas. And the road had been one, you could see it had been fixed a million times. It was still asphalt. And all of a sudden, the minute we went across the border, it's all brand new concrete. And Obama had been in office, 2 months, and I'm going, man, if that's what it is to have the president coming from your state, boy, Illinois is going to look a hell of a lot better at your stuff. I don't think we got anywhere near the stuff that Bush got Texas.
Yeah,
I mean, all of a sudden the interstate was like it was brand new, like they did it the day
before.
You,
when I got my job at Westminster, I drove my minivan from North Carolina to Utah, and I had it overloaded, and the interstate system through the South, Interstate 10, I think it is, I hit a crack every like 4 feet that was 4 inches wide, and I was bottoming it out.
Oh, God.
When I got into Texas, all of a sudden those cracks were gone. So, Remember,
buddy, thank you very much. So you're back now, you say the first term. How long does the summer school thing last?
I have summer one and I have summer two, and they're both 8 weeks long.
Now, is it a full credit?
It's 3 credits, but basically the time is compressed by half.
So how many hours a day they got to go?
Well, it's a 3-credit class, so each week, yeah, you got to expect at least 18 hours worth of work.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, instead of 9. Yeah.
All right, good for you. How many football players you got in there?
None. They're mostly really hard-charging young black females that want to better the world and are really engaged in learning.
Good,
it's really
good
fun.
Good for them. Good for them. Yeah. SP Futures down 28. NASDAQ Futures, we're down 203, or we're leaking again. We'll see what goes on tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow. Stocks with Jax.
That's all, folks.